Mark in chapter 15 we'll start at, and then we'll look at an outline of what I want to preach to you in John chapter 11. Curious place again for a resurrection message. Let's start again in Mark chapter 15. And boy, it's good again to be here on Resurrection Sunday. And this is a special time. Yesterday, by the way, was Passover. Passover is a lunar holiday. Again, it follows the new moon. It's actually the 14th day, as you know, again, from our reading in Exodus, of the month of Bib, which is the first month of the old Hebrew, Orthodox Hebrew, I guess. They've got a revised standard calendar now that doesn't line up with that. But first month. The 10th day, they separated the lamb on the 14th day of the month. In the evening, they slayed the lamb. And they did that for 2,000 years, again, before Christ came. And then they did it again when Christ was on the cross. An important time here for us as we look again at this Sunday. And as we look at this whole week called in Acts the Week of Passion, boy, again, understand the importance of that for a Christian, for a believer. I heard the news this week that, in fact, I heard three different news stations broadcast that, well, this is Easter Sunday. It's and they almost said it in a mocking way. It's a time when those Christians think that Jesus rose from the dead. We are those Christians, and that's what we believe. Hallelujah. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15. It was mentioned that in Sunday school that times are changing, and boy, they are again. And even in Indiana, if you've watched anything going on out there, we're going to be a remnant. And again, we're going to have our rights again as Christians, as Bible believers, overwhelmed again by the crowd of the world. And but don't despair. Christ said it was going to be like that again. Let's go ahead and worship today on this Resurrection Sunday here by looking at what Christ did for us. I'm in the book of Mark in chapter 15. I'm going to start reading in verse 33 if you'll follow along in our text. And when the sixth hour was come. 6 hours is 6 hours from sunrise is how they measured a day. So the 6 hour from our sunrise would be about noon. Okay, so this is noon. When the 6 hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and take him down." Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. Verse 38 says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, praise the Lord. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women on the far off. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable man, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he was already dead, and called unto him the centurion, and asked him whether he had been dead any while. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for the scriptures we've read on this resurrection day, and here's one of the most precious, where you gave your only begotten Son. We worship you. We thank you again, Father, for that offering and that it was an offering in our stead. We praise you and ask again that you'd accept our worship in this hour. Touch each heart that's here. May we realize again, even in all the zeal and excitement of Easter time, Father, may we remember what this day is about. May we proclaim it with our lips as your witnesses. We'll give you praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we look again at this. I want to also refer to John chapter 11 and verse 25. We're familiar again with the resurrection accounts at the sunrise service this morning. We read through all four Gospels and also 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to examine the details of the resurrection account. And so this week, again, I don't want to preach on that. I want to preach more on the importance of the resurrection. And here we find, again, in a quick outline, the outline that Jesus gave. I like to steal outlines from other preachers. I'm not above that, again. I never claim them as my own, even though those of you who've known me. By the way, I've been laboring in Yates County this week for 20 years. 20 years, again, Marvin and I are marking our anniversary to be here. We decided to come to Yates County on April Fool's Day. That's always been appropriate to me. But we've been laboring here for 20 years again and appreciate again so much being in the ministry. I was a youth pastor for 20 years and now I've been a pastor for 20 years. That's precious in my sight. I don't know, I never did very well at either one of them, but I sure enjoy it just the same. Praise the Lord. And so let's look now at John chapter 11, and most of you are familiar with John 11:35, okay, and if you've ever done scripture memorization, we know what that says. But let's look at John 11:25. Around here, we started to make a rule that if you're going to give John 11:35 as a memory verse, you also have to give John 11:25 along with it. So let's look at what the Bible says here. It says, my page turned in all my talking there again. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look at the next verse. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There's two ways to take that second verse. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I'm living and I put my faith and trust in Christ. Therefore, I will never die. But also, it's referring to the rapture again, when those that are living at the time of his return, they will never even die physically. And so we here are looking for the uppertaker rather than the undertaker. But that's another message. Let's back up to John 11:25. Look at this verse with me. Jesus said unto her, I am. Whenever you see an I am in your Bible, I want you to sit up, sit at attention again and pay attention. I am. Jesus said, I am. Remember when Moses talked to God and said, who should I say sent me? And he said, tell them, I am hath sent you. And that's the name of God. And in Hebrew, it rhymes with the word Jehovah. It's the same set of letters put together. And so his name is I am. And when Jesus said, I am the bread, I am the vine, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. When he said those things, he was claiming his deity, praise the Lord. And right here he says it again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's my first point. We'll look at that in more depth. Secondly, he says, he that believeth in me. Listen, something happens to you when you believe in him. And that's important. That'll be our second point that we'll look at here. And then the third thing it says in this little outline is, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Three things important in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to examine briefly here today. One is, they said, I am the resurrection of life. The resurrection from the dead substantiates who he was. That's a substantiation that, what he said he was going to do and who he said he was fulfilled in his resurrection. Secondly, notice here that he that believeth, I want you to understand that I don't have a dead Savior.
Amen.
In fact, you could not have a dead Savior because, again, for him to be a Savior, he had to take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar that's pictured there in the Old Testament ark. And so as we consider, again, that he arose, he had to do that so he could be my high priest.
Amen.
And he couldn't be a high priest dead in a tomb. He had to arise to again be a high priest. And he did that. So that when we say we believe in him, we have a priest. He don't have his collar on backwards and he don't wear black dress when he preaches. We have a high priest. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ, one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And the third thing that we want to look at in the importance of the resurrection. And Paul put it succinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That, hey, if he didn't raise from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. Because he is the first fruits of our resurrection. We're going to be like Christ in his resurrected body. And we are going. And so the third thing that we see in the resurrection of Christ is, hey, that's what we're going to do. That's the first resurrection that the Bible talks about. Those three things. Watch them again. Number one, to substantiate who he was. Number two, to be my high priest. And number three, to prove that, hey, we're going to rise again. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Those three things we want to focus on again here on the resurrection. Let's look at the first one again. There's a fellow named C.S. Lewis who wrote a book called Mere Christianity.
I like that.
I love that, okay? So I don't like C.S. Lewis. He's an Anglican. I don't think he came far enough again. He was still confessing to a priest when he said he'd come to Christ. But again, understand that his book, Mere Christianity, is a good apologetic, a good description that would bring atheists to Christ. But anyway, there's a Lewisism that come to be called by the atheists. Lewisism, and it is this, that Christ was either a liar, a lunatic, or a Lord. And so jot them down someplace. Boy, remember them. That's what Christ is. He was either a liar and who claimed to be Christ, God, who claimed to be the Christ, the anointed of God, and was not. Or he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. And we claim him as our Lord. And that's a Lewisism. And notice again that the things that he said, about him and his resurrection are important for us to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we looked at this morning at our sunrise service. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Sounds like a three-point outline to me. Let's preach that real quickly again. Number one, that he died. He had to die. I won't take the time to read it. We've already done it here several times. But in Exodus chapter 12, we see that they took the lamb on the 10th day of the month of Abib. And they kept that lamb up until the 14th day of the month. And they did that now for ever since. Anybody know when the Mosaic Law was written? 1492. Thank you. Thank you. Some people think it had something to do with Columbus. That was when Sinai, Mount Sinai again, in 1492. Remember that again. That'll show up on the test later. In 1492, that's when the law was written. And ever since 1492 to here, 33 BC, understand that God had them take a lamb out from the flock on the 10th day of the month. And he would hold that lamb up and then they would slay it. They still do it today, by the way. I was in Jerusalem on Thursday. Thanks again to the World Wide Web. And while there again, that's all we talked about with a whole bunch of Hebrews for an hour and a half was Passover and what it means and how they do it today and all the meaning of it. And the Christian, just the picture that it paints. And listen, they don't understand. The Jews don't understand half of the picture that it paints. You and I do. Because listen, on the 10th day of the month, there was a Sunday last Sunday called Palm Sunday. That was the 10th day of the month.
Right.
Right.
On the 14th day of the month, they slew him. At the exact same time that they slayed the lamb again for the Passover, God doesn't mess up no calendar. So again, understand that on the 14th day of the month, they slew the Lord Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross as my Passover lamb. He is my Passover lamb. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And I saw and bear record," John said, "that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples with him, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." He had to die because he was the Lamb of God. He was despised and rejected of men, it says in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed as my offering for your sins. Boy, we praise the Lord for that offering. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We read in Mark chapter 15, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died there. He died for your sins and for my sins. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I heard a preacher preach on God so loved the world, and he spent an hour talking about one word, so. Boy, we could spend an hour talking about for right there. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We skip over that so many times and thinking, yeah, he died for me. No, he took your place. He is your substitute, and we are saved because of his death. Bible says, and he was buried. He died, and he died as our substitute. He was buried, the Bible says. Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Do you believe your Bible?
Yeah.
You believe every word?
Yeah.
You believe that God made a few mistakes or changed it or condensed it or revised it? No, he did not. And it says again that 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 16 says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." Didn't even tell them what the sign was in Matthew 16. In Luke 11, the same. "This is an evil generation that seeketh a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Boy, again, notice that there's a lot of weight on that sign of Jonas. And Jesus again repeated it several times in each of the Gospels. In John chapter 2, says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto him," John chapter 2. Remember, John chapter 1 is just a prologue. We hadn't gotten into the book, and now we're in John chapter 2. And John, the Gospel of John, moves right along. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But Jesus spake of the temple of his body." 3 days. It's an important thing. And Jesus said it over and over, and he didn't mince his words and he didn't mistake his words. And so look at one more. I don't have this in my text, but I love this one just the same. Look in Luke chapter 24. This is the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And it says in Luke chapter 24, I think it was verse 31. 21. In verse 21. Luke chapter 24 and verse 21. If you mark in your Bible, here's a good verse to mark. I got it marked in my margin. I got it underlined. But we trusted, this is the disciples, they were talking again about what they were expecting from the Christ, and it says this, but we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel, talking about the Christ. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now that today, when they said that, was Sunday. That was the third day since these things were done, and they were just talking about the crucifixion. I want you to know that 3 days in the tomb is a very literal thing and a very carefully guarded thing. And Jesus was in the tomb on Thursday, Thursday night. He was in the tomb on Friday and Friday night. He was in the tomb on Saturday and Saturday night. Roman doctrine be gone. There is no Good Friday. And is that important? Yes, that's important. That Jesus fulfilled his 3 days exactly again as he said. And so he was buried. And he spent his 3 days in the tomb even as he said. And then it says here, while we're gathered on this particular day, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We read again in our sunrise service, Matthew 28, 1 through 10, Mark 16, 1 through 14, Luke 24, 1 through 43, John 20, 1 through 23, and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 23. We looked again at the resurrection accounts according to the Scriptures. And listen, he rose according to the Scriptures. He said again, as we mentioned in John chapter 2, in 3 days I will raise it up. Acts 2:31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. But we never apologize for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched the debate of Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy. I like both of them, but Ken Ham's right. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. Yeah, Bill Nye is wrong. Boy, again, understand there's a whole bunch of world. There's a whole bunch of church that's got it wrong because, again, they don't believe in what Christ did in his resurrection. The second reason that we want to look at, again, that covers the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He had to do all that to substantiate who he was. And he did. That substantiates that he was who he said he was. Second reason, again, that we're looking at here, out of I am the resurrection of life, he that believeth on me. Let's look at that for just a minute. That's all we got. And understand that we need a priest. Bible says, well, let's look at John chapter 16. Take the time for that. John chapter 16. If I get started here, I'll probably read the whole thing. But let's go ahead and look at starting in verse 16. I like verses that rhyme with 2020, like Acts 20:20. Here's one that's John 16:16 again. And so it's a good section to remember in your Bible. John 16 and verse 16 says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. That says some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and saith unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily. When you have a verily, verily in your Bible. Anybody know how to say that in Greek? Amen. Amen. All right. So verse 20, amen, amen. I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I need to go down and read through all the rest of that with you, but we don't. For the sake of time, we won't. Look at the last verse, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He had to raise from the dead to be my high priest. We read the resurrection account this morning. I think we stopped just as Mary Magdalene approached him in John chapter 21 and 20. And as she did that, you remember, she came to Jesus and fell down at his feet, and Jesus said, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet gone to my Father." We read the account in Matthew just now. And notice that the women came and grabbed him by the feet. And so something was different between John's account and Matthew's account. It isn't what the scholars say, again, that they got their accounts mixed up. No. Understand, every word is given by inspiration of God, and it's carefully guarded. God had a message for you, those that will dig it out. And that message is this, that he had to go to his Father. And he caught the blood, his own precious blood, the Bible says. Incorruptible blood, the Bible says. And he took that blood to the Father. And he took hyssop, I don't know whether it was real or figurative. He took hyssop and he sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant that we see going by up here. And he did that just as the Old Testament priest did, one time of the year to atone for the sins of the nation. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ did that to atone for the sins of the world. And he is my high priest. He is my high priest when we say, any man that goes to the Father, again, confess your sin, and he will forgive you his sin, 1 John, because he is my high priest. He stands beside God the Father as my advocate. That Job said, I need a daysman that can lay his hand on God and lay his hand on man and be a daysman, an advocate, a mediator between God and man. And we have one of those because Jesus rose from the dead. And if he didn't rise from the dead, you wouldn't have one of those. He may have paid your sin debt in being a sacrifice for you, but unless he rose from the dead, he could not be my high priest. He is my high priest, and he carried his blood not to the form of the covenant that was there behind that veil that was rent in two. He carried his blood to the Ark of the Covenant before God. And there at the mercy seat of God, he sprinkled his own blood. And there at the mercy seat of God, he stands as my advocate. He stands as my priest. Again, I said I don't need a priest that's got his robe on and his collar on backwards. Nor do you. That's Roman religion, and it's transformed into all the Presbyterians wearing their little robes and running around with their capes and everything else. Boy, again, understand, we have an high priest, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead. I could preach more on that, but we must move on. He that believeth, it says, gets a high priest, gets a priest to atone for his sins. And then it says this, it says, yet shall he live. It says that about you and I. It says, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You and I are going to live. I don't have time to go through all the verses I've got outlined here, but let me go ahead and say this, that Jesus said in Romans 6, 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you want to know what life's going to be like in a resurrected body, you study Christ. You can understand that Christ, again, when he popped in on the disciples, he didn't come through the door. Two times it says that they were shut in for fear of the Jews. And suddenly there he was in the midst of them. Listen, he popped in without a door. and he could pop out without a door. I listen to NPR. It's one of my shortcomings, again, as a pastor, as I keep listening to those fools. And Science Friday. This week it was on April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day, they had a whole section talking about extraterrestrial beings that live amongst us. Martians. When they lived in Mars, they were called Martians. Some of the tomfoolery that man believes. Again, I've been in the Air Force. I've been in Area 51, if you know what that is. I see the tomfoolery of extraterrestrial creatures, and they think the government's hiding something from us. You've never seen such incompetence as we have in our government. They can't hide nothing, all right? But again, understand this, that hey, they look at all of that and they believe that here there's extraterrestrials, there's stuff going on out there that we can't understand, and I agree with you on that point. That there's stuff going on in another dimension, if you would, that we can't see nor can we understand without faith and without a book that describes it for us. And so again, we understand again that there is a dimension, and someday in our resurrected body we're going to be in that dimension. And we're going to be metaphysical. We're going to be able to walk through walls. We're going to, again, be different because he was different. Remember, he appeared and he disappeared with his disciples. Remember, he ate fish. And in our account there with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, he ate bread. In fact, when he broke bread, that's when they knew who he was. We looked at that Wednesday night in our communion service. When he broke bread, they knew who he was. That's precious. And when we break bread, remember him. And so, notice here again that he ate. Anyone else know what he ate?
Fish.
He ate fish, okay? I had leftover perch, by the way, yesterday for lunch. Didn't say that he ate any squirrel from our game dinner, but he ate fish. What else did he eat? Anybody else know? He ate honeycomb, okay? And so we have those things. Anybody know why he didn't in his resurrected body drink any fruit of the vine?
He wouldn't do it until
he wasn't going to do that until he does it with us again in his Father's kingdom. And so he ate. I don't know if you, maybe you're not as weird as I, but I, when I was a kid, I watched The Invisible Man. Okay, I see a few recognitions from old people. Invisible Man ate a sandwich and it went down and you could see it going into his stomach. I still remember that. So listen, he did that as a testimony of what a resurrected body was. And again, that he was real and he was resurrected. Remember the Sadducees who said, but what about this man who married seven times and what's going to happen in heaven? And Jesus said to them, in heaven, you're going to be as angels. Remember that? You're going to be as angels, not marrying or given in marriage. And he does that twice. He talks to them about that. He also says in Luke 20, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. We don't understand all there is about a resurrected body, but what we do understand, we can understand by looking at the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was the first fruits of my resurrection. In Matthew, again, when the resurrection account, when you read it, you find that the veil was rent in two, and the rocks were rent, and the earth did quake, and the tombs were opened, and out come saints walking again in resurrected bodies. We don't understand all of that, but that's part of that first fruits of the resurrection. Boy, again, as we study the resurrection, understand that we are going to be part of a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And then one more thing we must consider about the resurrection is this. Luke 14:14 says, it speaks about the first resurrection of the just. When the Bible speaks about the first resurrection, understand that it speaks about a second resurrection. There is a first resurrection, there is a second resurrection. That's all the resurrections you get to choose from. And everyone in this room is going to be part of either the first resurrection or the second resurrection. The first resurrection is a resurrection of the just. And I would extend that a little bit to say it's a resurrection of the justified. And if you're not converted to Christ, if you're not justified through His Son, if you're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, if you're not baptized into the body of Christ, and if He didn't quicken you to make you alive anew and afresh, listen, you have no part of the first resurrection. You must be born again to be part of the first resurrection. It says in John 5:29, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust," it says in Acts 24. Revelation speaks very specifically of the two resurrections. But the rest of the dead, after that first resurrection. And there it gives us insight again that those tribulation saints that are resurrected after the tribulation, remember, we're resurrected at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, there's a sound of a trumpet, praise the Lord. And there's a voice of God as the archangel of God. And I believe that's a voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. His voice is like a trumpet. His voice is louder than an archangel's voice. And again, we hear those two things, and it says, "Come up hither," as He told John. And the church, the believers, are raptured out of this world. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says in Corinthians, we're gone from this place. So the Bible teaches real clear that there's going to be a trumpet sound, there's going to be a rapture when the dead in Christ shall rise, and we're caught up to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming for His saints, and then He's coming with His saints. Boy, again, when we look at this first resurrection, we are part of that first resurrection at the rapture. But those that died during the tribulation period, which is a 7-year period of tribulation like the world has never seen. Again, all the denominations, all of the Protestant churches think that we're in the tribulation period right now because they read a Bible figuratively. We're not in no tribulation period now. There's coming a 7-year tribulation period. And after that period again, those martyrs under the fourth seal that again cried out, "How long? How long, Lord?" Those are going to be part of the first resurrection as well. And the Bible says, "Blessed is he that is a part of the first resurrection." Revelation 20 and verse 5, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years was ended." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for the 1,000 years. Are you going to be part of the first resurrection? Only if you're a born again Christian. Only if you've called on the Lord Jesus Christ and made him your Savior. Make sure which resurrection you're going to be part of. All are going to be resurrected. There's a resurrection of the just and there's a resurrection of the condemned. Revelation, again, 21 tells again about that resurrection where they're all brought before the great white throne of God and they're cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. Boy, make sure that you know which part of the resurrection you're under. And again, you're only under the first resurrection. I heard it said that if you're born twice, you'll die once.
Amen.
But if you're born once, you'll die twice. And that second death, again, is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in that second death, but have everlasting life. That's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for your kin that you're going to have dinner with today. That's what He wants, again, for God is not willing that any should perish. Whosoever will come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. Boy, again, we need to be cognizant. We need to be aware, again, that we're in a world and we're His witnesses. We have everlasting life. We need to use this week to tell someone about it. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for this resurrection day. Father, as we've worshipped again and studied your word and stand in awe of your promises, I pray again that you would just touch our hearts. Cause again, Father, that we'd be your witnesses. We love you. We thank you for this resurrection morning, the celebration that we've done already this day. And I pray you'd carry us even throughout all this week, again, with your name on our lips and the joy of our salvation and our step. And we'll praise you and thank you for touching each one that's here. Father, if there's any here that's not going to take part in that first resurrection, I pray again that they get their heart right. Father, that they do right. Even before the day closes, we'll give you the praise now. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. It's good to have Arlene back. I'm going to ask Arlene just to play through a song. And as she plays, let's stand for our invitation. God's dug down your heart. If there's something you want to pray about, if there's a relative you need to pray for, let's just use the old-fashioned altar. Just before we dismiss today, you may be seated. I'm going to ask Melanie to come on down. Melanie Farnham, again, has been coming back to Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and she has come with a desire to unite with Good Samaritan Baptist Church as a member. And she's coming by testimony again. And Melanie, you were telling when you were saved and when you got baptized. Just make up. That's fine. It was years ago.
There's a verse in the Bible that really sticks out to me every time I read it. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Every time I read that verse, reminds me that I need to be still and let God work on what He wants me, you know, wants to work in my life. And, you know, there's another verse in here that says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." If I keep pressing on and be still, God will work a miracle and the world will see a new me in everything I've done. And I became a Christian in 1997. And Pastor Rice was the one that baptized me into this church, and I would like to renew my membership.
All right, she's coming by testimony again. She was a member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church and baptized right here. I moved to Florida and all over the world and been to Corning.
All over the world.
And now she's living back in Penn Yan and been coming out and wants to rejoin in membership here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so we're going to receive her today into church membership again. And just appreciate her coming and her willingness and her desire to do that. She mentioned that during our communion service on Wednesday night, that she needs to be a member of a Baptist church, and that's certainly true as we partake of communion. Let's have a word of prayer with Melanie. Father, thank you and praise you. Thank you for Melanie. Thank you again for her love for thee. Thank you again for her salvation. Thank you for her membership even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church so many years ago. And pray again now that you renew that. And again, as she would unite with this church, Father, that you'd cause again that as we're covenanted together, church, to pray one for another, to edify the saints one another, I pray again that you just bless this union. Cause again, Father, that we could touch Melanie's life with your hands. And Father, that she could edify and strengthen and be a prayer warrior even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for filling that need in her life and also for being a blessing at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Thank you for that. Pray again that you bless in this decision. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and for his name's sake, we'd ask just now.
Amen. All right. As we dismiss, again, I'm going to ask you to just come right around and welcome Melanie back into membership of the church and give her that right hand of fellowship. You just stand
there. Okay, Pastor, I have a question for you.
They'll come by afterwards. How is that afterwards, okay?
All right.
All over the world.